Yeah, let's call the meeting to order. And I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes April 14 and April 27.
Not now. Sorry.
So moved. This is Robin.
Robin.
Second, Kelly Fitzpatrick.
Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, minutes are approved. No grievances, Nate?
No grievances.
Thank you. We'll move on to the department request. We got risk manager Scott up first.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So on the agenda, I'd like to ask your approval to add the city of Hornell to our workers' comp plan. So anytime you need to, or would like to bring somebody on board, the committee has to give approval to be able to do that. First, I'd like to thank Chris. Chris and I started working with the city a number of months ago to walk them through our plan, take their information to PERMA, and come back to them with what I think is a great opportunity for the city. We'd like to add them to our plan at a premium of $160,000, which saves the city of about $60,000 a year.
I'll second that. I'll make the motion. Sorry.
Carol Ferratella, I'll second.
Any other questions?
That includes their fire department, Scott?
Yes, they have both a paid fire and obviously police department that encompasses that whole program for them. Yep.
Thank you.
Were they ever part of the fund before, Scott?
They were never part of our fund. They were with PERMA back directly up until 2014. They moved to the Comp Alliance in 14 for whatever reasons. Again, it's a huge win for them and for us as well. So
good. If nothing else, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anything else, Scott?
Nope, that'll do it. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you. Moving on to elections. Got some interesting issues coming up with elections this year, it seems like.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep. So the first thing we have is, as of last week, we normally provide services for the village elections. And we print poll books and stuff for them. And we had already done that for their election in March and sent them out and billed them. And as you know, now the village election is not going to happen until September, which means they are going to be required to have new poll books printed because their voter registration cutoff is going to change because of the date of the election. So we wanted to come to you because I didn't know whether you wanted us to do the poll books for those that we do them for again and not charge them, or whether we should charge them when we reprint them.
Well,
what's the cost to us, Vicki?
For what we did in March, it was $497.95. I imagine it'll be more because as we get closer to the presidential primary, probably our voter registration will go up.
You know, I guess my first reaction, this is Robin, is yeah, it's going to be a little more over the 500 mark there, Vicki, but you know, the village elections were changed by no fault of their own. And there's a lot of movement having to do with elections all the way around the board. So considering the cost, we're not talking $4,000. I don't think we should be charging back.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. Gary Swack, I agree. Motion.
I agree.
Got a motion and a second. Anybody else have any questions, Vicki? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So the next thing we have on our list is, of course, as you know, the presidential primary has been up and down and up and down and up and down, and it's still in the air. last week, we were not having the election, and we had already purchased the ballots for Election Day. And we didn't know whether we should be charging that back to the towns, or if we don't end up having the election, or whether we wanted to just eat that cost.
What is the cost, Vicki?
It was a little over 4,000, I thought.
Yeah, it was, hang on just a second. Should have had that out, I'm sorry.
But I go in my folder, here it is.
It was quite a chunk of change. Hang on.
And the second question to that, this is Robin, is how is that affecting your budget overall?
Well, the whole budget is kind of up in the air. So the cost for the ballots was about $3,400. So we were able to, for the presidential primary, we were in April, we were able to cancel the trucks. We didn't have to have inspectors. So that was probably, you know, a good $10,000 savings there. And of course, now we don't know what we're going to do. I mean, right now we're in the process of have to mail out applications to every single Democratic voter, which is around 15,500. That is going to be a huge chunk of change postage wise. And then we have to pay the postage for everything that comes back. And that's going to be more money. And then we're also having to actually purchase the return pre-postage paid envelopes for them to send the applications back to us. And then if they do, we have to send out ballots to them postage, and then we have to send them a postage paid return envelope to us, which is more postage, and we have to pay to have all of those envelopes printed and the 15,500 applications also.
I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit, Vicki, but I see the next item on the agenda would be a grant. Is that to cover expenses like these?
The grant will cover the having the envelopes printed and the absentee applications printed will cover the additional postage, but it won't cover for the ballots.
Now, Vicki, just so I understand, this is Robin. You're talking just for the presidential primary. You're not talking the general.
It will cover for the presidential primary,
yeah,
for the envelopes, the applications, and the postage. And it will cover for whatever we have left in the grant money, it will cover towards the general election also.
Because you're hearing the same thing I am, that it's likely the general is going to be all absentee ballots?
We don't know yet. I know that there's a big debate about that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I would not be surprised that if the governor does do another executive order that says that we have to offer that possibility to everyone. And if that is the case, then we're going to have, and I get it. I mean, we don't want to put our inspectors at risk or anybody else that's in a poll site or our voters at risk to have to come out to vote for any of this. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it looks like that's going to be a major option. And if that's going to be the option, then that's going to cost us a lot of money to get all of this done.
Gary Swack.
So
what money are we talking about? A lot of money. What's that mean?
Well, right now we're looking at close to almost $10,000 in printing fees just to get the envelopes done for $16,000 for two envelopes and the applications, and that doesn't even include the mailing, the postage cost.
Thank you.
So this is
those costs are covered by the grant that we're getting.
Run that by me again.
Costs that you're talking about, those are not covered by the grant that we're getting. Are you telling us that the grant is not sufficient to cover the extra costs?
It will not cover the cost of the ballots that we had already had printed.
And that's $3,400.
Yes.
And that's not because, this is Jack, that's not because there's not enough money in the grant. It's eligibility, what they will allow you to spend.
Thank you, Jack.
But what's wrong with the ballots?
The ballots are fine if we have the election. It's if we don't have the election, because that is still up in the air. There has been an appeal filed and we're hoping to hear something by the end of the week. But at this point, we don't know whether the election is going to happen or whether it is not.
Assuming it does, we would typically charge that back anyhow. No one's out. Municipalities aren't.
Right.
So maybe it's premature to make this decision.
Well, I put it on there before they come back with the court case and the court order that said the election was happening. So.
Vicki, this is Philip.
Yep.
So confused. There's no electronic poll books. There would be no inspectors. And for either this or the upcoming elections. So.
Oh, no. If
I mean,
if we have to hold this election, the presidential primary, we still have to do early voting. We still have to open our poll sites and we still have to have a full election day.
Yeah, even though you're going to do all those absentees.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
So if you want a table for right now, what we do if we don't end up having the election on the cost of the ballots, that's fine. I don't care. I just wanted to make you aware. Well, it's up to you.
Why don't we table this?
Okay. I'll make a motion to table it until our next meeting.
Second, Robin.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next, the COVID-19 grant.
Okay, so we received a federal grant from this, obviously from the federal government. The state is going to cover the 20% match on this. So we just need approval to accept the grant. So the amount Steuben County is going to get is $116,778. And that will be to cover anything that is required because of COVID-19 for just the federal election.
Okay, this is Robin. I'll make a motion to accept that grant.
Carol, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Could I make an additional request, Brian?
Sure.
Vicki, if you could work up some numbers for us, if it's not too much trouble, on what the projection would be for the costs on the fall elections, it would give me a better sense as to whether or not we're going to have money to cover.
Right. Yes, I can do that. You should know more today. We should be getting our quotes back from the printers for the envelopes and the information there.
Okay, I think it'd be good information for all of us to know because, you know, especially if you end up needing a budget adjustment.
Right.
Right.
I agree with that. I think that all of the municipalities are going to be in a very tight budget spot. And so if we can, we are in a better position to absorb that cost if we can. But we need to have numbers in order to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Brian, can I ask one other question for elections? I do tax returns, as everyone knows, and I've had a couple election inspectors tell me that they're told when they sign up that if their election payment is $500 or less, that it's not taxable. Is that true?
We tell them that we do not provide them with a
1099.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we clarified that because it is taxable, but you are correct that you do not have to issue a 1099 if it's below 600, actually, is the threshold.
Right. It's $599 right. or whatever. But yes. No, we tell them we just don't provide them with that form.
Okay.
Anything
thank
above
you.
That, we do.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to IT, Rob.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I'm here to ask for approval to purchase video conferencing subscription for use by the whole county. All the departments who wish to use it. Did Brenda send you an email yesterday with a couple of quotes?
Yes, we got
it. Numbers on it.
Yep.
I did receive a third one this morning. So I do have three. They're all on a contract. So, but the third one came in at $37,000 for 1 year. The two major players here are the WebEx and Zoom. Obviously, if you got the information, Zoom is much cheaper. Although the number that I did send was not exactly the version that I wanted to go with, the actual number is $13.50 higher than what I sent. So it should be $23,667, which comes out to around $1,900 a month. And this is for 150 licenses. I did reach out to all the departments, and I have requests for 170 licenses. But I think there's room to work with the departments and possibly share licenses between departments.
Carol Faratella, you had made a note that Zoom is HIPAA compliant. Is WebEx also HIPAA compliant?
They both have encryption. WebEx. We would have to jump through some hoops to be able to say that we're HIPAA compliant using it. With Zoom, they'll actually do a business associate agreement with us, which is a requirement for HIPAA. They have that already set up. And with Zoom, since within the last couple of months, they also allow us to keep all of our communication within the United States as far as the servers that it hits. Another thing about Zoom is with the healthcare option, which is the HIPAA compliancy, they have what they call waiting rooms. So say somebody at our mental health department, they can set up one meeting for the whole day. And then their clients would check into this waiting room prior to their own appointment time, and then, but they don't get into the meeting until the mental health worker, you know, lets them into the meeting, the one-on-one meeting. That is something that Zoom or that WebEx does not have.
So, Rob, this is Robin. I have a question.
Okay.
Can you briefly summarize for me what you get for $15,000 more with WebEx?
What?
Well, there's a disparity.
I can tell you what you don't get.
Okay.
With Zoom, you get unlimited cloud storage for recordings of the Zoom meetings. with WebEx, you only get 10 gigabytes. They both have branding, which means that we can put our, Steuben County logo on it so that the clients that everybody has will definitely know it's an actual legitimate Steuben County WebEx, video conference. There's not much, in reality, they're pretty similar except for a few things like the HIPAA associates agreement. And unlimited cloud storage is a big thing with Zoom. Also with Zoom, you get a dedicated customer success manager. I'm assuming they would help you get everything set up and someone to work with one-on-one. Also with Zoom, I know I'm going the opposite way that you asked, but with Zoom, they have automatic cloud recording transcripts. So they're auto-generated written transcripts of everything that happens within the meeting. Now, from what I understand, this is a little convoluted in that it picks up everything. If you rustle a paper, it does put something down saying that something similar to what happens if somebody coughs in the background, it picks that up. But it's better than, better than nothing as far as, a written transcript.
And this is Jack. One of the reasons for the high count of users that could use it at any one time is mental health community services is using it for telehealth services, like Rob mentioned with the waiting room, which are obviously billable services. So that's why it's not down in the 50s or lower. It's because those mental health counselors need to have the ability to run sessions at the same time.
This is Gary Swack. Is security wise, is one better over the other?
No, they both have the same encryption capabilities. They both use the same algorithms and everything for encryption.
Thank you.
I did want to let you know, my total when I pulled the departments was 170. I think I said that already. The majority of them, 139 of those is between mental health and DSS.
How many?
139 of those licenses would go to DSS and mental health.
Robert, sounds from what you're telling us, Zoom is a superior product, significantly cheaper. Is that right?
Yes.
Anything associated with the name Cisco on it is going to be a factor of 2x.
Mm-hmm. John Malter, I have a question.
Works fine for the IDA meetings.
Sorry, can you repeat?
The IDA meetings are held with Zoom, and that works fine.
Okay. Just as far as the user experience, Scott, you said you've used it. So, I mean, it's basically the same as far as getting into it. From what I hear, Zoom is a little bit easier on the client side. They don't need to sign up for anything or put their names in. They can just attend the meeting.
Rob, Gary Swack, I'll make a motion.
For a second.
Second.
Carol, second. Any other questions?
That's for Zoom.
John Malter, I have a question.
Go ahead.
We've been using WebEx. What has been our cost so far using that?
Okay, with the WebEx, our cost has been zero. With the WebEx, they put out a free trial, which was equal to basically their enterprise version. But it was free for 90 days, and that ends on June 12th. I'm not saying they won't extend that, but once we reach the end of our trial period, the limit on the free version is 40 minutes per conference. So that's not enough for DSS or mental health as far as meeting with clients. They have to meet them for an hour.
Yeah, based on last week, it wouldn't have been enough for AIP either.
True.
Carol, I have a question, please. Do we have the cancellation clause in this?
Not that a cancellation clause in the for the Zoom?
Yes.
No. We would be purchasing the licenses for a year. We could, it would cost a little bit more money per month than per year if we went to a monthly subscription.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else? If not, all in favor of Zoom?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Zoom it is. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Next up, County Clerk. I don't know who's here for Judy or someone for Judy.
Sue is here.
Hi, Sue.
At least I thought she was.
Well, maybe Scott can give the presentation.
Hello, can everyone hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. The semi-annual tax distribution report was emailed to all of you, and I'm hoping everyone got it and got a chance to take a look at it.
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions? Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. I don't think there are any
questions. Does anyone have any questions? No questions?
So.
Okay. I did want to inform all of you also that our goal to e-record was going to be in August this year, but because of the COVID-19 crisis and the building closure, we got together with our vendors and literally within a matter of days, we worked fast and furious and we were up and running and we were able to e-record. We recorded our first document on April 6th, and I think this has been very helpful to the public, and it's worked out quite well. So Judy wanted to make sure all of you knew that we were up and running with e-recording.
Well, I got a question kind of on a separate issue, but it involves the clerk. Is there a possibility that the clerk's office could make arrangements for title company to send in individuals on a maybe one person basis for a limited period of time, because the able to purchase beyond 1970, they've got to get into the old books 70 back.
Right. Well, what we've been doing, and I've been working diligently on this, we do have a email address devoted to that, and I know that a lot of the abstractors have been putting in their requests for the older documents, and I've been able to provide that for them. At this point, I honestly don't know how we're going to handle, once the building does open, how we're going to handle abstractors coming in, whether we're going to limit their time, but we're certainly going to do everything we can to accommodate everything that they need.
Yeah, more to come on that this week. We'll be doing very likely. I mean, we're still waiting for some clarification from the governor, but I do believe that starting next week, we'll be able to do appointments only for a majority of those things to get more people in the building. So next week, you should see more movement, but I have to do a little more coordination. That's what we're working with the individual departments on for prepping the plan pretty much today, tomorrow.
This is Aaron Mullen. Can I chime in on this about the abstracting?
Sure, Aaron.
Yeah, I have a an abstract company and it is, it's sort of workable what's going on right now, but there's just stuff that is not being, like there's other stuff that's not even going to the clerk because it's so much more cumbersome than normally being able to, if somebody could get an appointment and go in there and do it, there would be more research being done. And then if you, there's other cases where you request that something be pulled and you, if you were doing it yourself, you would have an immediate follow-up request that you would just take care of yourself. But it's like, it can turn into sort of a chain of, follow-up questions. But again, some of those just end up being limited in order to, just because of how, and it's the clerk's office has been doing a nice job with that process, but it's just limited by the process itself.
Yeah, Aaron, I agree. And again, I know Judy and I have been talking and we're going to do the best we can. As soon as we hear from Jack and what's going to come down next week, we'll work as hard as we can to get those abstractors in. I do think it's going to be a limited time period that they'll be in here.
I think that would work. And the remote access that's been provided obviously has been a really good way to be able to take care of a lot of the stuff. So.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to digress, but getting back to the semi-annual mortgage tax distribution, is there a motion to approve?
Carol Baratella, motion.
Carol, motion.
Kelly, second.
Second, Kelly. Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
Brian, if I can just make a comment, I know they're going to, but from the public standpoint, the DMV and pistol permits are as important as title clerks. So whether it's by appointment or however, I hope that that's included in the first phase of reopening the building for people.
Yeah, Scott. Again, working with the county clerks, I think that is the one caveat would be the DMV, because that was closed to online only by the governor's executive order. So we'd have to see how that goes. We'll work with Jen, but the plan is as soon as we can do these things by appointment to do it, because we're hearing the same things to, people really need to get that moving.
Also will help us out, county.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Okay, moving on. Andy?
Good morning. Just got the one item. I'm just looking for authorization to reissue my annual copy bid. As you know, we award that quarterly, but it's a one-year bid.
Got a motion for the second. I know it's controversial, but all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Wendy, got that 20 tax cert.
Hi. Yes, we've received a request to participate in, really it was a review of an appraisal document the city received from the petitioner. So I talked to the assessor and they don't feel there be a need for the city to have an appraisal. They're expecting to settle. But this is just a review of an appraisal submitted, and our share would be of the $800. Is $340.64.
Do we want to make that motion or do you have any questions for Wendy?
This is Robin. I'll make the motion.
Second.
Kelly will second.
So our cost would be about $340, you're saying, Wendy?
Yes.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks.
Personnel?
Nope, I think we're good, Brian.
Okay, thanks. Jack?
Nope, nothing for me.
Anybody else?
Good question.
Sure.
Sorry, Jack. I'm seeing a lot of people that are still having with their unemployment claims because of the backlog in the unemployment system. And I was curious, as we plan our reopening and we still have staff that are on administrative leave, I was wondering, do we have a better contact line or contact person for either Tom O'Mara, Phil Palmisano, the Department of Labor? And could we enlist some of the people that are on administrative leave to making phone calls, try to speed up the process for some of our constituents who are not getting any funds while we are shut down?
It's a good question. And actually, a couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with Dan Porter, who's the director of CSS Workforce New York, because with the Career Center shut down, he has staff that are in the same boat. And they're much more familiar with unemployment because they're in the career centers with the UI folks. And I had him put a request into the state to allow his staff, about the six of them, to help process those claims. And it was denied by the Department of Labor. But I can definitely escalate it. I'll reach out to O'Mara and Palmisano to see if they get a different answer, because as electeds, they might be able to you know, knock on the right doors. So it's a good question. It's something we have thought of that has been denied, at least for workforce staff, because that would be logical. They know the UI system, and they could, you'd get about six extra people in Steuben County right there just doing it. Let me work on it.
And Brian, I have a comment. Go ahead, Kelly.
I was just going to say that I understand that there are certain things that the state is pushing down on us, and I understand that maybe vocalizing against some of these things doesn't get us anywhere, but sometimes I feel like our constituents would really like us to be putting out there that we don't agree with how things are going. I mean, I'll say it out loud and maybe you'll cringe, but I don't understand why Chris Moss gets to be in charge of our region when Jack's been here and doing the job a lot longer. I also don't understand why it can't be county by county, because Jack understands our county better than anybody else and understands the situation that we're in better than anybody else. And a lot of people don't understand why we can go in with a mask to Walmart or Home Depot, yet I can't go to my favorite running store on Market Street with a mask when there's me and one other person in there who is the clerk. And I think that people are really starting to feel the frustration, and I would just love to see us put something out there that says we understand their frustration, we feel their frustration, and even if it's futile, sometimes you have to fight the battles that need to be fought, even if we can't win.
It's a very good point, Kelly, and so behind the scenes, I can tell you, obviously we do that. So all the calls, we're pushing questions, comments up to the state about why are we doing this, getting clarification. Yesterday's post about, you know, putting as much proactive information about reopening out there, and we'll continue to do that, has been helpful. That's actually, it's generated a lot more questions. We were getting the questions anyhow, but it's been helpful. In terms of those sort of things, I'm happy to obviously, you know, publicly do whatever, you know, you folks direct. It's just sort of walking a fine line on my end in terms of trying to speak for the whole board when there's, you know, in one voice, when there's, you know, 17. You folks set the policy, so I don't want to say something that the entire group doesn't agree with. But if the entire group wants me to, you know, when I'm obviously doing it behind the scenes, you know, talking about small businesses and these things and when we reopen and pushing for, you know, the common sense small businesses that, you can do things safely to escalate when they're implemented. But in terms of doing that publicly, I'd sort of need direction from the board about how you want me to communicate that, because obviously there's different feelings, you know, throughout the board. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I don't want to speak for you, you know, if I'm not supposed to, if you know what I mean.
I understand. How do we get you some kind of authority to do that?
So your formal action would be a memorializing resolution, but if you came up with a sense in this forum or some other sense to say, you know, specific things that you would like to see or like us to communicate, I'd be happy to do it if that's what, you know, the pleasure is.
I got a question. This is Gary Swack. I got a question yesterday from the radio station why we're not trying to protect Steuben County more and fighting back against the governor.
Well, yeah.
Didn't comment, but they wanted to.
And we are. I mean, you know, on many fronts, we're working with Albany, but we're fighting them on all the fronts that you folks know about that we keep you updated on, both from an economic standpoint, but also from a response to the pandemic standpoint. So, you know, we are doing that, but I'm happy to communicate anything again that you folks want to, but I try to walk that fine line of not going over my skis and saying something that you folks wouldn't be comfortable with me saying.
Yeah, we understand, but I somehow or another, either email or something, we have to take a poll so you can speak out.
I think that's really important. And like I said, you fight the battles that need to be fought. And I think it's important for our residents and constituents to see that we are fighting, and I have full faith in you, Jack. I have full faith in Darlene and our public health system, but what's going on behind the scenes isn't what we're seeing going on outside. And I think that impression makes a big difference. We want people to think that we're fighting for them. And even if I'm hitting my head against the wall, I feel like I feel all of their pain, and I want everyone to understand that we all feel their pain.
This is Carol.
We're the closest representative that they know. We're downtown shopping and whatever, and they'll see us and say, well, what are you doing for us right now? They don't know that we're fighting behind the scenes, and I think it's about time we got public.
This is Mullenike.
Would the newsletter be a good avenue to publish some of this, because it goes to a lot of the municipalities, and that filters down to the residents a lot of.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. It's just a matter of the policy sense of the legislature about, you know, it's kind of a nuanced thing. There's many things that I feel comfortable saying, especially for the public health response, because all I'm saying is what we're doing. But when it gets into how aggressive we get in messaging, you know, against the regional or against the governor, that's where, again, I kind of need you folks to as a collective to tell me what you're comfortable with me or us saying. I mean, it's not just me. The other avenue is to do it through Scott, as chief elected, and he has no problems expressing his opinions.
I'm reserved most of the time, but
I mean,
so Brian, this is Robin. I got 2 points. I think that maybe the perfect vehicle for us getting the word out is through Scott as our chairman, maybe even more so than Jack.
So, Hilda, can I ask a question?
Hold on.
Make the second point.
And the second point, I just want to go back briefly to the unemployment insurance. Having professional experience in that area, granted it's dated, I've been retired a while, but we went through this during the recession of 2008 through 2011 and 12, the backed up unemployment claims, the legislative representatives had no magic numbers. And I dealt personally with the onslaught of people so frustrated by the system, and we couldn't fix it. Granted, the legislators can push really hard on the governor's office to try to make make adjustments so that it's easier for people to file. But I can tell you for a fact that the system is the system, and they are reluctant to change anything out there. Now, I'm not saying don't go to Palmisano and O'Meara, because they're your representatives and they can make the loud noises. But as far as publishing magic numbers for claimants to use, that's not going to happen. And even in our office, when I worked in the assembly, I had no magic numbers. We had to go and fight the system the same way the claimants did. So just food for thought.
So thank you. Jack has been doing these great little blurbs on TV, like WETM and et cetera. And I'm wondering, maybe could Scott start doing some of those updates or increase what Jack is doing? Because a lot of people don't read the paper. They may not get the newsletter, but a lot of people watch WETM or whatever station locally because they have nothing else to do, because they're stuck at home. So the more we could be on TV, whoever it is, talking about this, I think might be better.
Yeah, Hilda, while I am known as a media darling, I have a face for radio.
They love you, Scott.
You know, I think this is a good conversation. And as I'm sure you're all aware, Jack and Darlene are as damn frustrated as all of us with the misinformation, mixed information, the changed information that comes down from the state through the whole process. I mean, all the way back to when he started his daily TV show in March. You know, we were talking yesterday about the details of phase one opening and how they have it broken out by industry, manufacturing, retail, and in the retail section, it lists 20 different types of businesses that can open. However, they all must be curbside service. One of them being electronics stores, one of them being shoes. And I said to Jack, who in the hell wants to buy a pair of shoes where you have to stand on the curb and wait for them to bring a pair out to you? But what's interesting in this is the entire time that this has been going on, you could walk into Walmart and buy a pair of shoes. So right. There is absolutely no logic whatsoever in how the state is doing this. I don't mind being the voice of opposition representing the legislative group. The one concern I would have is at some point when you speak so loudly, I don't want to give a bad mark to Jack and Darlene where people think that they're not working for us. Them following or towing the line of the state message where we're the ones that are out there being rogue. So I think it has to be balanced.
Yeah, I think it can, Scott. I think, you know, and we'd be very happy. I mean, Laura Lee is out here doing an awesome job with messaging. Mary helps as well, obviously. Laura Lee's, you know, a lot of the comments that you see, you know, and people direct message us, she's giving as much information as we can. We'd be happy to, because we know the same issues and we're experiencing the same frustration, like you said. I mean, we'd be happy to draft things that come from you. My only fear, and I have no problem opposing the state either or speaking out in the areas that aren't really policy related, that I feel comfortable that is my job, essentially, you know, especially with the health response that Darlene and I have been very vocal about with the nursing homes and things like that. But when it gets into the policy realm, that's really, you know, you folks. So we could help you, Scott, like prepare, because actually, and I agree with Hilda, you know, the TV stuff is great, but our press releases get picked up immediately, especially with everything that's going on, and we get follow-up phone calls. So if we could start playing around with some different press releases on this, that would be issued under Scott's name on your behalf with his contact information for follow-up. So if they have questions, then they're calling Scott.
That's fine.
And this is Robin.
Go ahead.
I think it's an excellent suggestion, and obviously we all feel it doesn't have to be all negative. You know, you don't have to be, we're fighting hard, you know, with the state's killing us. It can be a very positive message too, in the fact of raising the actions that the county has taken.
That's a great idea. I think that we need to be much more vocal about the positives and also about the pushing. Even if pushing doesn't necessarily get us anywhere, we still have to push back. It's really important for our constituents to see that we're doing that.
Yeah, and to Kelly's point, we can share the tense conversations that we have, you know, behind the scenes, trying to get more information, trying to push different things. I see Jamie on. I know he and I talk daily about trying to figure out some of the nuances, because it all changes at 11:30 when the governor does his press conference. So we can document those experiences, both positive and negative, in a way that can be released by, you know, Scott.
Have a comment?
John?
Yes, I'm sitting out there. I have no problem with Jack and Scott putting something together, but I think it should be sent to all the legislators prior to sending this out, just in case somebody has some opposition to the wording.
This is Carol. I have a question for Jack. Would it make sense to use Mary Parham to get and go to the businesses for their perspective?
That's something we could look at. It's a good question. I'll talk to Mary. I know she's helped a ton and can continue to do so. It'd just be a question of how we do that. The other thing, and again, this is probably a perfect one. Scott and I have been talking, we've been having calls with the superintendents about graduation. We're having a call next week with the Conference and Visitors Bureau businesses about, you know, best practices. We're putting together guide sheets. We're doing all of those things, but we could probably, you know, put it out in a more vocal way of, here are the things that we're doing. But in terms of the direct experience of business, I'll talk to Mary about that.
Yeah, I have some letters from some of my business owners here in town for when I wrote the resolution urging the governor to open things up sooner. I can forward those to you.
Okay. That'd be good.
Can I speak?
Mr. Carey, I think as long as we mention Scott and Jack and so on and so forth, we get other names in the full legislative board behind that statement, I don't see a problem.
This is Hilda.
Go ahead, Hilda.
So Jamie's been doing a great job with their newsletter to the businesses. And if we could follow some sort of a positive format like that, rather than like earlier was said about opposition, the positive feedback about what we're doing and the details behind it, I think would go a long ways.
Okay. Anything else?
Fred Potter, I have a question. For the Board of Assessment reviews that are going to be taking place later this month, a number of the towns are going to be having face-to-face meetings, so to speak, with the grievance. And they're going to be doing it with distancing and with face masks. My question is, if we have face masks there to provide for people that don't have them, and they refuse to wear them, I know we have to take the grievance forms and so forth, but can we deny them admission into the building?
That'd be a Jen question. I don't know.
That's a good question. It's not really law, but I mean, I think you can set that policy. I've gotten a couple of phone calls from towns about that. And I mean, there's a lot of ways to work it. One town is going to do appointments where everybody is going to stay 6 feet apart, but keep their numbers down. And if somebody didn't wear a mask in that situation, you'd be fine because you'd be 6 feet apart. I think the concern is masses of people coming in at the same time and then somebody not wearing a mask.
A lot of us are of the age where we're at high risk for that. And even so, we would prefer that they still wear a mask, and it's mandated by the executive order.
Yeah, but it's an enforcement issue. It's mandated that you wear it in a public place where you can't stay 6 feet apart. So, you know, that's the gray area. If you're 6 feet apart, you have to wear one? That's the question. And then you get into the enforcement issues that you're seeing on TV where fights break out, and that's just worst case scenario.
Sorry, Jen, and we were on the phone with the governor's office yesterday, and there's no formal guidance coming on actually enforcing face masks, making that a civil penalty or a criminal penalty. They don't want to get into that for many good reasons. So like Jen said, it becomes an enforcement. We will be doing, when we open the county building more, certainly we can direct staff, but we will have masks to provide to the public and direct them to wear them. And we do have control of our buildings, but if someone really pushes the envelope, that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah, I think, you know, my best advice, Mr. Potter, at this point is if you can limit the number of people in there, then you can spread people out. And if somebody's not wearing a mask, then you have definitely mitigated any sort of exposure. If you have a lot of people in the room and somebody doesn't have a mask on, you have a big.
Well, we were planning on only admitting one person at a time anyways.
That's good. Yeah, that is. I mean, I would say that they should have a mask on, but if they don't, at least all of you can stay 6 feet apart at that point because there's not too many people in the room.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Jen, this is Jeff Horton. And in the town of Campbell, our town attorney had told me that if they don't wear a mask, there's really nothing I can make them do because of a HIPAA violation. I cannot ask them if they have a medical necessity.
No, I don't know that HIPAA necessarily is that we all work in public buildings. It's a different situation than, let's say, a Costco building that's privately owned that they can tell you can't come in. Working in a public building is where the issue really lies with this mask. We can't deny people, you know, to come in to do things that they have a right to do. And it gets tricky on the enforcement.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? If not, we'll wrap it up. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Robin.
Second. Okay, Kelly.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.